The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome. It is Friday, and some of you are headed home after a long week, and you've got a bunch of things to do before you settle down and watch a football game this weekend. So I hope you get all that done. But before you get home, we hope you'll enjoy an hour of Fire Away Friday here on Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper, along with co-host Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, we're not going to go through Hebrews, but we're going to do Fire Away Friday. So let me give that phone number. And then, you know, as professor, like they do on today's issues, they call it university learning, learning university.
That's right.
You know, we can give some, you know, I don't know if they give homework or not or assignments, but you do that every once in a while. So get ready to tell our listeners what they need to prepare for. But before I do, let me give that number. It is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. It's any subject that you desire, and we'll do our best to give an answer. But, Alex, we're coming back Monday, and we're going to stay in Hebrews, aren't we?
We are. In fact, that's what we're going to do for a homework assignment class. Your beloved teachers, Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, that are just as excited about the Word of God as you could possibly imagine. We're all going to read this over the weekend, and then Monday we'll get into Hebrews chapter 5. How about that?
I'm telling you what, and every chapter in Hebrews is an adventure. I just tell you that.
It really is.
Yeah, it's more practical in the beginning or doctrinal. At the end, it's not, I wouldn't call it just practical, but I'd say it's more of a testimonial because you get into the issues of individuals that have done some great things. So Hebrews, it grows, I think, in intensity as it comes to the end about what we're to do as believers. So you'll be blessed by studying Hebrews with us. I do believe that.
Well, I agree. And what Hebrews is doing is making the case for Jesus the Savior. I mean, you know, really, it's a great presentation of the gospel, and it's, frankly, I think, an incredibly persuasive presentation of the Savior.
Amen. Well, brother, are you going to, let me, before we go to our callers, I love to watch what you're doing. This weekend, I'm going to be with my wife. We'll be worshiping together at a church, but I know you are preparing to preach this coming Sunday, aren't you?
You know, I've got a real privilege, Bert. I'm going to be at the church where 20-some years ago I was youth pastor, Friendly Avenue Baptist in Greensboro, 8:15 and 10:45, two services. And if you're listening and you happen to be in Central North Carolina, come on out to Friendly Avenue Baptist in Greensboro, very prominent church, very great church. And what a privilege to come back to the place where my service in full-time ministry first began.
Amen. You will return. I guess that's the way to say it. But okay, we've got callers that are already calling in, and they're already online. Cedra's got them ready to go. So let's go to the first caller of the day, and it's in Mississippi, and it's Gary. Gary, welcome. It's good to hear from you again, brother.
Yes, sir, Bert. I hope you and Alex are doing good.
We are. We are.
Appreciate your program. I was just going to very quickly ask about baptism. In Matthew 28 and Mark 16, Jesus said, "Go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But when you read Acts, even the day of Pentecost, all the apostles baptized in the name of Jesus, and even his disciples, I guess. But could you explain that to me, and is it important?
Okay. Gary, thank you. Baptism is very important. Alex, it's, you know, we kind of say it, the profession of faith, using terms sometimes that are too churchy, I guess, but we think of our profession of faith as going forward and declaring that Jesus has saved us. But really, when you get to the New Testament, the declaration of faith was the public baptism. And it wasn't necessarily the words. And let me just say this. The words at baptism are kind of like the words it is when you're asking God to save you. God looks deeper than words, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And by the way, thanks for listening and thanks for this great question. You really need to understand that the New Testament uses the word baptism in two senses. One is water baptism that we think of, that we're water baptized. And the words that are said, I'll address that in a moment. But there is the sense, though, that you are baptized when you become a Christian. Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6, verse 3 use the phrase being baptized into Christ. And it says if you've been baptized into Christ, you have put on the new nature. Now, what that means is immersed in, infused in Jesus. When you get saved, you have been, quote, baptizo, baptized into Jesus. Now, being publicly water baptized in a church service, that's a different thing, and that's a fine thing. But Bert, the way I understand the New Testament, the public declaration of our faith to be water baptized, that's not what saves us. What saves us was when we repented, believed, were born again, and in that sense, Galatians 3, Romans 6, we're baptized into Christ.
Amen. And that public water baptism is a declaration of what has taken place in your heart and in your life. As Alex said, right. No, it is not adding to salvation, but it is adding to your discipleship, Alex. Following the Lord in water baptism is a part of discipleship, and it is important. Now, whether the names, don't make such a big deal about what is said. It's sort of like who baptizes you. Alex, I remember studying in church history and it has to do with, I think, baptism being more important than we should make it, making it a part of salvation. If the person who baptizes you, apostatizes, as they called it in that day, and turns away from God, does that make your baptism null and void? Okay? It does not, and neither does the words that are used make it null and void either, as long as it's glorifying God, whether it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, whether it's in the name of the Father or the name of Jesus.
Right.
It is that attitude. It's not those words. Sometimes we as human beings, we kind of put too much emphasis on, did I say the exact right thing?
God knows our heart. And folks, this is really important. In fact, this is worth taking time to fully unpack this. The Bible teaches, and Christianity has believed, in the Trinity. There's one God, and there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons within the Godhead, but there's one God. Well, there are groups that teach, that there isn't a Trinity, or that, maybe there was God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament it was Jesus, in the Church Age it's the Holy Spirit. And, there's a lot of ways people have described this and said, well, God is not a Trinity, but he's in different modes. Well, in Acts 2, verse 38, they baptized in Jesus' name. Peter said, repent, believe, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Well, let me just say this. You could baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit, or you could baptize in the name of the Father. Because God is an indivisible, unchanging one, God is triune. There's three in the Godhead, but one God. I think, Bert, in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus, because look at his sermon at Pentecost.
Exactly.
He was trying to emphasize that Jesus is the one and only way of salvation. Now, and I understand that a lot of the Jesus only baptizers now, not only are they trying to obey Acts 2, but they're trying to deny the Trinity. But I want to drive this point home. The gospel by which we're saved and baptism are two different things, and I think I can prove it. 1 Corinthians 1:17, where Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel.
Amen.
So clearly, the gospel and baptism are two different things. Should you be publicly baptized and proclaim your faith? Of course. But it's, as we said in Galatians 3 and Romans 6, you're saved by believing in Jesus, and in that sense, you are, quote, baptized into Christ. And then part of discipleship and obedience and your public witness to that salvation is that you are water baptized in a service. But, Bert, you're right on the money, my friend. It's not so much the words you use, but the status of your heart and the fact that you're following the Lord
Amen.
In baptism.
Amen. Gary, thank you for calling. Good to hear from you. Speaking of Gary, let's go to Kentucky and talk to Gary. We'll call you Gary, too, today, brother. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex and Bert. How are y'all?
Man, we're doing good today.
Well, me too. Better than I deserve.
Amen. Blessed is the word. Yes.
Blessed. Yes, amen. Hey, guys, I got an encouraging word, if I may, about prayer. I've been thinking about this. The Holy Spirit's just been stirring me all week about this. I kind of wanted to share it. I mentioned it briefly to Miss Sandy the other morning, and then I was going to call in to Tim and his buddies today on the Trivia Friday, but it didn't get to. Anyway, I've been thinking about when Moses and God was talking right before Moses was going to lead Israelites into the wilderness. And that conversation, if I might paraphrase, God told Moses, said, y'all go on, and I'll meet you in Israel, and I'm not going to go with you, because if I did, you're a stiff-necked bunch of people, and I'd end up taking you out. And it's fascinating what Moses did after that. Moses didn't say, okay, God, that's what you said, that's what we do. Moses pleaded with God, and again, allow me to paraphrase, Moses said, well, now, wait a minute. You was with us every step of the way in Israel, in Egypt in captivity, and if you're not going to go with us through this wilderness, I'm not going.
Amen.
And God, yeah. As y'all know, God relented and changed his mind and said, okay, I'll go with you cloud of fire by night and a cloud during the day. And it's been encouraging to me, Bert and Alex, that we still have a chance to turn America around.
Oh, wow.
Prayer and pleading with God. God, please don't pour out your wrath upon us, because he could do that any day, any hour. But I pray that this nation pleads with God. God, spare us from what we see and know around us, things that are not true, that are evil. Satan is rampant, as y'all know. But plead with God.
Amen, Gary. We are. We hate to cut you off, but we're coming up on a hard break. And Moses, he knew, Alex, the only hope he had is God with us, God with him. That's our only hope, isn't it?
Yes, and the Bible says it, return to God and he will abundantly pardon. I like that, don't you?
I do. And Gary, thank you. Both Garys, thank you for calling.
Yes.
And we appreciate it so much. We're going to take more phone calls right after the break, and we're going to talk to John, Lee, Greg, some more. So we can't wait to hear your question. We'll be back right after the break. Don't go away.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. There's no doubt a moral revolution is taking place in our nation, seeking to make sexual orientation the freedom that trumps all others. And what happens in a revolution? The opposition is silenced. That's exactly what the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights is threatening to do. In a recent report, the commission warned that religious freedom must take a back seat to other civil rights, stating that the phrase religious liberty is code for discrimination. discrimination, racism, and homophobia. In essence, religious freedom will not be allowed to stand if it doesn't align with the agenda of the left. In 2015, Hillary Clinton agreed, stating, "Deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed," unquote. The religious beliefs she warns must change are yours and mine. Elections have consequences, and in this election, the freedom of religion is at stake. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. Tongue-tied when it comes to witnessing? Then let God's Word do the talking for you.
It was our very first call for the afternoon, and Michelle opened the door. When I offered her the booklet, "Would You Like to Know God Personally?" she accepted it. I then asked her if I could show her what it was all about, and again, she agreed.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
Michelle also accepted a copy of the Pocket Testament League's John's Gospel, and we encourage her to read it. We're also getting her the follow-up video and the magazine that goes with it. In the meantime, we're praying for her.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Volunteers are ready, and the time is almost here. October 8th through the 15th will be 8 days of hope for flood victims in Black River, South Carolina. The ministry and those volunteers need our support as they go forth in Jesus' name. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
Our budget for this trip will be about $530,000. God's going to send every penny. He always does. Please pray for 8 Days of Hope. We've got the perfect opportunity to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes.
Please pray for the leadership of 8 Days of Hope as they facilitate this massive undertaking. Pray for the safety of the volunteers as they work. Pray that God would multiply His blessings for those people whose lives and homes were so damaged by flooding. Pray hearts will be open to receive the love of Christ. And pray that volunteers would share their faith and encouragement in love as opportunities arise. If you feel God has called you to give, you can make your donation at 8daysofhope.com.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we'll be joined by AFN anchor reporter Chris Woodward, U.S. Bureau Chief of Lifeside News Ben Johnson, and the Vice President of Business and Culture at the Media Research Center, Dan Gaynor. We'll cover the debate fallout, Obamacare, and the latest economic and national security news. Plus, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, and Howard Dean. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Please let me stay and rest in your holy name. Word of God, speak.
I hope that you'll be in church this Sunday and you'll hear God's man bring a message from the Word of God. Word of God speaks. And we would love to hear from you if you've been blessed by the Word of God that we do our best to be honest with and straightforward with here on Exploring the Word.
Honestly, I've
had to look at some things. Do I really believe that? And we try to be as honest as we can about it and handling the Word of God. And if it's blessed you and it's encouraged you and maybe you've grown, we'd love to hear a listener story. We're going to be involved in Share-a-thon from October the 18th through the 20th. That's coming up just in a week or so. And if you've got a story about how you've been blessed, we would certainly love to hear from you. And that number that you call for the listener testimonies and listener stories is 877-876-8893. And if you think, well, I won't have one, God may work it on you. So right now, take time to write this number down, and then God might have you to call in. To it edifies and builds up others when you hear these testimonies. I know they do for me. 877-876-8893. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Michigan, and we're going to talk to John. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, when you first started reading and studying Hebrews, you guys mentioned the person, you guys didn't know who wrote the book. Now, who more than that for you. Because three evidence that Paul wrote the Hebrews. There's three evidence of it. There is 10 verses.
John, you're breaking up, and I know you're trying to make a point, but it's breaking, and I can hardly hear you. Brent, our producer's having a hard time. If you could call back, we'll put you at the top of the list, but it's breaking up so bad. Yes. I know Alex, what he was talking about, sounded like he was saying Paul was definitely the author, and I know early on that was thought of, but is the evidence that clear?
Yeah, we don't exactly know who wrote Hebrews, but I think there is good reason to accept that Paul wrote it. You know, that has been kind of the position of early church history and throughout much of church history. And, there's no necessary reason to question church history. Bert, there was a lady, and she was a scholar that was under Rudolf Bultmann. Her name was Etta Linnemann. I don't know if you've ever heard that name, but she broke away from liberal German theology and became a born-again Christian, and she was quite elderly, and she came to Liberty University. This was in the early 90s when I was a grad student there, and it was really something else how she shared her salvation testimony, because she was a very renowned scholar who at one point in her life was very liberal, and then thoroughly became an evangelical Christian, and she accepted Pauline authorship of Hebrews. And she said that, that to question history is really kind of not really a healthy thing to do. And so one of the arguments is that the early church largely believed Paul wrote it. The other thing is, I think theologically and style-wise, it sounds like Paul. I mean, there's no reason necessarily to think that, it doesn't sound like Paul. It does. But unlike a lot of the letters that he wrote, it doesn't overtly say Paul, and all of his other letters do, and that's why some have questioned it.
Yeah, and also he uses the Septuagint as, when he quotes the Old Testament. So there's two or three things that are different than Pauline scholarship. But I would say this, I think, I lean toward Apollos, I do. Brian Fisher, I was talking to Brian, he leans toward Apollos. But there's underlying, no matter what, even if Apollos did it, Luke did it, or someone else, there's this Pauline theology that comes across, So yeah. There's no doubt Paul was either writing it or had great influence on the one who did write it. To me, I think that is evident, and regardless. Yeah. Thank you. John, I'm sorry to cut you off. I wasn't trying to do it, but anyway, it was just a bad connection. So let's go to North Dakota and talk to Greg. Greg, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bert, Brother Alex. I have listened to you, man, just about every day for the past year. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, clear, man. You're clear.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Working construction like I do, I don't have a church family. I consider you, man, to be church family.
Well, we receive you, brother.
The question I have today is, maybe you can help me out. All my life, I've been involved in churches as a child growing up and taught that we will be raptured before things get bad. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures that I found I've been studying. Matthew 24, verse 15, the day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. And it goes on telling about what will happen to Judah. And then down there on verse 31, it says, and he will send out his angels with mighty blasts of trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones. And okay, 2 Thessalonians verse 2, excuse me, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 3. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness will be revealed. Over to Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, and the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And the last part of this question, men, is Revelation verse 20, Revelation chapter 20. I'm a little nervous, man.
You're doing good.
I've been waiting to ask you guys. It's a long time. Revelation 20, verse 4. Oh. And then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony. Am I wrong, man? Or is the teachings that I was, brought up with, have we been fooled?
Greg.
We're going to have to face horrible atrocities. I'm not afraid to face them. I'm so confused.
Okay, Greg. Thank you, brother. You have blessed my life with your listening, telling Alex and myself that you listen on a regular basis is a kind of a Bible study group. So first of all, I want to say that. And the other thing, I just want to make it clear. Jesus Christ made it clear that he was coming back. That is the clarion call that he is coming back to get us. And then there are those that look at when he comes back at different times and same way he's coming to get us at certain point in time. And there's some disagreement on when. The other thing, and I want to set it up, and then Alex, you can do the different parts. The other assurance thing that we have is no matter when he comes back, no matter what, we're to be ready. And the Holy Spirit is going to be with us through it all. He's with us unto the end of the age. Now, Alex, the promise is that more than it is in knowing all the details. You catch what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's where you come down on. And that's what Alex and I do our best. Yes, we believe we're premillennial. We say that, and we believe that. But, and I put the conjunction there, Alex, yeah. But I've been wrong. Paul thought Jesus is coming back in his time, but he did not. But right. The thing that we're not wrong on is that he's going to be with us, and he's coming back. That's the real assurance, isn't it?
It is. And sir, thank you for listening. Like Bert, I'm just touched and humbled by the fact that you would listen and call in, and we just count you a friend, dear brother, so thanks for listening. And Bert is right. The point of orthodoxy, on which we all agree, and which is the great comfort, and 1 Thessalonians 4 says, comfort one another with these words, that Jesus is coming back. And believers will spend a glorious eternity in heaven with Christ. He is coming back. Now, we know in the end times, the Bible says that evil men will wax worse and worse. Perilous times will come, and there'll be a great falling away, and many will deny the faith. There will be that man of perdition revealed, the Antichrist. And ultimately, before God ushers in his kingdom, there's going to be this time that the Bible calls the day of Jacob's trouble. I do not believe that the church will go through the tribulation. I definitely do believe in what's called the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. And let me explain some things. And I want you to think about the picture that God paints throughout Scripture. I mean, Noah and his family were in the ark of safety before God's judgment of the flood fell on the ancient world. And in Genesis chapter 7, the Lord said to Noah, come thou into the ark. And Genesis 7, 15, 16, it says, they went into the ark, and the Lord shut them in. They were safely. Okay, Exodus 7 through 12, when the plagues fell on Egypt, the Israelites were shielded and protected from that. When the Red Sea closed in on Pharaoh's army, Exodus 14, the people of God were safely through. And the reason, Bert, that I point those out, you've got to understand, when judgment has fallen on a pagan world throughout history, the people of God were shielded.
Someone has said he recalls his ambassadors.
That's right. That's right. But before a country declares war on another country, they get their ambassadors out of the embassy. And 1 Corinthians 15... And what we have to do, folks, we have to look at the totality of Scripture. And Bert is right. I mean, we don't know exactly when all this is going to play out, the minutia of Bible prophecy. We are kind of groping in the dark a little bit. But if you look at scriptural precedent I mean, what's going to happen is there. I believe there will be a day, 1 Thessalonians 4, that will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm not trying to be flippant here, but let me say, for the next 7 years, hell on earth will break loose. But it says that, you know, God, well, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Now, think about this, Bert. Right behind Laodicea, the church at Corinth was, you know, really the second most backslidden church in the New Testament. And God says, we will all be changed. So I do think that the rapture, the catching away of the bride, will be before the tribulation breaks out on earth.
I do as well. And Greg, I agree, and you can justify that. And I know that we could have some people here that work at AFA. They're on the radio. They're great friends. We are camaraderie, salvation by grace through faith. But they have a different opinion on that about amillennial. But that's here's what it is.
And that's okay.
It is okay. But here's your trust. Your trust is not in when you will be delivered, but that you will be delivered through Jesus Christ. And listen, we don't know. Our faith is not in the doctrine of eschatology. Our faith is He who holds eschatology in His hand. And so that's where we go. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone, and not necessarily say, Lord, I believe I'm going to be raptured. But if not, we kind of be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Alex. I know God can deliver us, but He may. But we still have His guarantee and His promise of His presence. And I just want to share with you, His presence in our life is sufficient, okay?
Yes.
That's the bottom line. Man, Greg, thank you. We've been blessed today to hear from you. Let's take a real quick call to Iowa and talk to Ryan. Let's go to Iowa and talk to Ryan. Ryan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you both very much for your work and faithfulness. I wanted to share, this is kind of actually a little bit off of your message from yesterday, but just about the power of the Word of God and the Bible. You know, I grew up, and I could say, oh yeah, I've read it here and there, but it wasn't until when I was in college, it was my younger sister, in fact, who was born again and challenged me and asked me if I've ever actually read the Bible and actually considered what God says about what Christ and what was accomplished through Christ. And I started to read it with kind of a purpose behind it. And it didn't take all but two chapters in Matthew. I realized I didn't know what was going on and what was being talked about. And I knew it was serious, though. And so I prayed about it, you know, who can I talk to? And it was actually later that day, two women from a campus ministry invited me out to a Bible study. And I think I scared them when I was so ready to receive that and say, yes, I'd like to come out. But so my encouragement to folks out there is you really don't know where people are at and how God's working on their heart. And sometimes it may just take an invitation to a Bible study or just a simple encouragement to read, you know, parts of the gospel or the Bible and let God really continue His work and be a part of that. So thank you both, gentlemen.
Amen. What a testimony. Amen. Alex, on three or four of the different ministries that we're going through, you know, just know, while God's working in your life, He's also working in those that you're going to talk to. You know, know that He's working both sides of the equation. He really is. He's not only working in your life, but He's working in the life of those that He brings into your path. That's awesome to know that, isn't it?
Well, it is. God's called us to share the gospel, but chances are you're going to meet people who are hungry to hear it.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan, and appreciate that so much. And let's be faithful in being ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We got some people online.
Who's your coach? Throughout life, we have people coach us. For example, we didn't interview the doctor who delivered us, or the teacher who taught us, or the supervisor who directed us. These individuals, more than likely, were designated without our approval. But what about the coaches we personally select? The ones who influence us through music and literature and media and entertainment and a whole host of other outlets. Are the coaches we have directing us, leading us towards God and holiness? In genuine seasons of revival, the followers of God endeavor to live counterculturally by becoming more like their Heavenly Father who is holy. 1 Peter 1:15 states, "Now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chooses you is holy." Together, let's make it our prayer and goal to surround ourselves with the right coaches. I'm Ryan Loving with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Christians have an exciting opportunity to help our country this election cycle. In 2012, 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote, and leaders were chosen without our input. That many votes can turn an election. We have an opportunity this year to put our nation back on course. Voter registration is open till October 8th in most states. Make sure you're registered to vote. And then on Election Day, make sure to vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAaction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide. Next time on Today's Issues, it's Miracle Monday.
I'm talking about something that can only be explained by the supernatural hand of God.
A few months ago, we had a lady put on our prayer chain with stage 4 cancer throughout her whole abdomen. And when she went back in 3 months for her recheck, there was absolutely no sign of cancer.
Wow. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9th through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/ExploringTheWord.
Promise, the Word of God is alive and well. And we want to go to the phone lines and get as many as we can here. And we're going to go to Arkansas and talk to Lee. Lee, welcome to Exploring the Word. Thank you for holding, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're loud and clear.
I got a question. I was wanting to go back to, I guess, the other gentleman that called in about the baptism question.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I slightly disagree. I do baptize in Jesus' name. I'm actually a Pentecostal evangelist. But my question was, y'all brought up Matthew 28:19, where it says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But if you go back and notice, name does not have an S on it, so it's talking about a particular name. But if you go back to the book of Isaiah, God begins to talk about how he's looked all over, and he's there by himself. In 1 John 5:7, talks about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that all these three are one. And Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given unto men whereby we must be saved. And then Acts 22 talks about how Jesus is that saving name. And if you don't baptize in Jesus, and you're not baptized in that name is what takes away your sins. And I've always was taught, it's kind of like if you wrote a check to a young man who mowed your yard, Surely you're a father and you're probably a son to somebody and you're a radio host, but you can't put those titles on there. You physically have to put your name on there for it to be cashed by a bank. You can't just go by the titles. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is titles that are given, but Jesus is the name.
Amen. Well, Lee, we agree. Jesus is the name given among men whereby we must be saved, and the baptism, the Holy Spirit coming into our life, does not come in except through Jesus' lordship in our life as we ask him to. And again, go back to what Alex was talking about. There is the baptism immediately, the immersion of the Spirit of God in our lives at the point of salvation, and it is because of what you've done with Jesus Christ. And then in discipleship, not in salvation, in discipleship, you follow him, and you're going to, you know, make a testimony to others, and you go to water baptism. And again, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the check is already being cashed at the point of salvation, using your analogy and what I understand. But at the point of salvation, you want to testify of what God has done for us. And it's God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's two individuals, and the Holy Spirit convicted us. So, I love to baptize in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, because I want to give full credit to every avenue of my salvation. Alex, I understand what Lee is saying, but again, I think it's that baptism that happens immediately at salvation at the name of Jesus. He does, and it's based on what you do with him, isn't it?
It is. And brother, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. We are very honored that you would listen to the show, and very privileged to speak with you and interact. There's one thing, because I was listening very carefully. One thing that I've got to point out, you said Father, Son, Holy Spirit are just titles. And I really disagree. I think it's more than that. Because think about this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are more than titles. It's being, not just title or even activity, because we've got to understand, and I know this is more than the human mind can really take in, but biblically God is presented as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity, and the word Trinity, as I said, tri-unity, one God in perfect unity. And, you know, we've often cited Genesis 1:26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, there's not a plurality of gods. There's one God, but there are three centers of consciousness, three persons within the Godhead. And, you know, some of the ancient creeds, like the Apostle Creed and the Creed of Athanasius and the Nicene Creed, reference this one true triune God. And for that reason, because you remember in John 8 where Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Back to your analogy of a check. If the check is made out to Bert Harper, Bert Harper can cash it. But if Nathan Harper is on the account too, if it's a joint account, then either one could cash that check, because the Son has the authority to act on behalf of the Father. And so, you could say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father," or you could baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit, because the members of the Godhead are of one nature, co-equal, distinct in personhood, but co-equal in nature and being and authority.
And let me make one statement here, brothers. If you disagree on premillennial and amillennial, postmillennial, or panmillennial, it's going to pan out, or if you disagree on baptized in the name of Jesus and or the name of the Trinity, I just want to tell you, we're living in a day when it is what you do with Jesus Christ. Let me just make this plain, and
exactly.
I'm on my soapbox, and I'm loud and clear. It is, do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the way you're saved is by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man or boast. And then we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Those works should follow. But it is
And we need each other within the body of Christ.
We do. And so if you're listening, you disagree, don't turn off, say, oh, those pagans. No, we're not turning you off. We don't want to. We're with you. We're trying to build up the body, but it's around Jesus Christ, isn't it, Alex?
It is. You know, since we've been in Hebrews, let me read a verse out of Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, this is so beautiful. It says, Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, some translations will say, Jesus, the expressed image of his person.
Yes.
But Bert is right. I want to say, if you are premillennial or not, if you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or if you baptize in the name of Jesus, if you sleep in the pews or jump over them, look, we need each other. If you're a Jesus person, we're family. And nowadays, with the rise of atheism and you know, Bert, let me share this with you. I was on a show this morning with Dr. Bill Meyer, who he and I were colleagues at Focus on the Family, brilliant Christian leader. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you how much the body needs the body. For years, they've said that millennials, you know, one out of five doesn't believe in God. And there's the rise of what we call nones, N-O-N-E-S. What God do you believe in? And one out of five says none. Well, the statistic nowadays is more like not 20%, but 36%. Mm. Now, we've never seen an America where one-third of the people don't believe in God. And so I say that not to be doom and gloom. We need a great revival, but the body needs body.
Amen. Well said. And I just want to say thank you, Leith, for sharing that. Dalton from Texas called in, and he wanted to know, if you're not baptized, can you still be saved? Let me share this with you. If you are saved and you're physically able to be saved, you need to be baptized in order to be the disciple God wants you to be. The salvation takes place at the point when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. As you repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and call on him as Lord, you're saved at that point in time. But refusing to be baptized, not being baptized, it may reveal something in you. Either there's a rebellious spirit that needs to take place, done away with, or you've never been born again. You need to be baptized if you can. I just want to make that plain. It's essential to salvation? No. But essential to discipleship when physically able? Yes. Loud and clear. Isn't that right, Alex?
I 1,000% agree. Okay. But you're right. Salvation is about you putting your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
But baptism, yes, you can be saved without being water baptized. But again, being baptized into Christ, that's your faith.
That's your faith.
Okay. But as a disciple, it is a step of obedience for the disciple, isn't it?
It is, and we need to follow through. It is a big deal, and we want to make it that way. Not the biggest deal, but a big deal. Let's go to N.A. from N.C. I love to do that. N.A. from North Carolina. N.A. from N.C. Go ahead, N.A.
Yes, I would like to sort of comment on the baptism.
Yes, sir.
When I studied that, I seen that it was a taken, you know, during the biblical times, that was the end of the law in the baptism, and Christ was the beginning of a new age, and the Holy Spirit would be what would lead and guide us to heaven. And I'll just hang up and let hear your comment.
Amen. Listen, the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, N.A., Jesus says, I must ascend to my Father. He didn't say, oh, I want to. He says, I must. If I don't do that, the Holy Spirit will not come, and it is for your necessity that the Spirit come. We're living in this. We make much of Jesus, but we're living in the Spirit age of him working so mightily, aren't we?
We really are. We really are. And, you know, again, I think at Pentecost, Peter, he said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. See, there had been, among the Jewish leaders, there had been, discussion. There was the baptism of John. You remember that? And when Jesus asked them,
yeah.
the baptism of John, was it of heaven or was it of men, from heaven or men? And, you know, I think Peter was, he was preaching what the Holy Spirit wanted him to preach, and, you know, thousands were saved. But I think he was trying to, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the people at Pentecost that had flooded Jerusalem there, I think Peter was preaching that the Savior, one and only, is Jesus Christ. That's what he was trying to get across.
I agree. Man, N.A., thank you for that, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Larry Joe. Larry Joe, it's good to hear from you again, brother.
Hey, guys. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, praise the Lord for y'all. Hey, listen, I've been listening to you, and I've been hearing these calls, man. But, I, you know, I think sometimes if we try to put a tag on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, sometimes we're just sidetracked.
Larry Joe, you're fading out. Try one. Get real close, and let's try to hear you one more time.
Okay. Sometimes I think that we try to put a tag on the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You know, like I believe baptism is good. But I talked to a lot of different people, and some of them think that if you don't speak in tongues, you're saved. And some of the guys that I talked to and people, women in different places, they say, well, if you're not baptized. But, you know, I want to refer back to the thief on the cross, but that we don't need nothing but to bow before a holy God, Jesus Christ, who is a propitiation of our salvation through God. God gives salvation through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen, Larry Joe.
That is our salvation, that Jesus is the one that will lead us to the promised land, but God is the one that said, I want to look through your blood. I want to see him through your blood, and they are saved.
Amen. Well, let's go back to this one more time. This will be the last caller, and we'll call this not Fire Away Friday, but Baptism Under Fire Friday. That's what we'll call this one. But I just want to share with you, you're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. And again, we make sure that baptism, I want to go back, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at salvation. The water baptism is, in that day, it was so important to identify. This is letting the world know that you're identifying with Christ. It was a public baptism, Alex, where folks could see and you say, I'm publicly following Christ from now on. And it goes back, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So once you come to Christ, you are not ashamed of the gospel. You're letting yes. Christ be seen and heard through your life. And if I understand what the baptism of the water baptism in the old in the New Testament was about, it was about that identifying with Christ and walking with him. And we still need to do that today, don't we?
We do. You know, when I was in the Holy Land, it was my privilege to see several, you know, first and second century churches they had excavated, and the mikveh bath, the baptism, and it was my privilege, Bert, maybe you've done this too, to walk down through a baptistry that was in a church that they're digging out, and goodness, it was not too much different than the baptistry in hundreds of churches where I've traveled to preach. Isn't that something?
It is, and again, if you're not saved, you need to get right with Jesus Christ. You need to attend church. If you're saved, you need to be baptized, but if you're not saved, you need to come to Christ. You need to repent. Turn away from your way and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I know Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for me. And I ask him into my life as I repent and surrender to you. Listen, if you've not done that, you need to do it. And if you need help, that number is 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. Alex, it's been good to be with you today, and hope you have a great time preaching there at Friendly Baptist Church.
And folks, remember, Jesus saves, and he's as close by as a prayer.
Amen. Thank you again for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Tell someone about all the programming here on the American Family Radio. But we, Alex and I, are a little bit partial to Exploring the Word. So tell someone about that, but tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.